Don't try to tell me you hunt if you just paid. You know what I mean? There's a difference between hunting and pulling a trigger. I try and tell people you're going to have downs. If you're not mad and in a bad mood, you're not hunting elk, period. I'm buying a tag and I'm getting my own animal and I know where it's coming from and I know what it's been eating and all this. And he's like, you're just a racist. What? Study, watch videos. That's the best thing you can do. And keep in mind that the videos you're watching are only going to show you the ups. They're not going to show you the downs. This is Corey Child, the best elk hunter on TikTok, and you're listening to The Wild Initiative.
Put down your latte and pull on your boots.
There's a lot of people that can pull the trigger on an animal, but they don't know what to do with it after.
If you would have told me that a stupid turkey was going to make me get that excited, I would have told you you were crazy.
It's just a skill that you have to perfect over a lot of years.
Hunting is a tribal activity. We've lost the tribe. We can't even hunt together anymore.
Well, the people that are anti-hunting are usually pro-abortion. So kill the people, save the animals.
I just remember riding my horse back to camp with the northern lights and the moose behind me, and I'm like, this is why I've done this. This is as cool as an experience as I will get.
Hi, this is Jim Shockey.
This is Sam Soholt, the public land bus guy.
Hi, I'm Kimmy Greentree.
Hi, this is South Cox with the Western Bowhunter Podcast.
Hey, this is Ben Dedamonte, a.k.a. Shed Crazy.
You're listening to The Wild Initiative.
Hey, y'all, welcome to another episode of The Wild Initiative, brought to you as part of the Waypoint Podcast Network.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, and with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
All right, as I'm sure y'all can hear, we're still here at the Western Hunting and Conservation Expo in Salt Lake City, Utah. I'm sitting down with a buddy I did not expect to do a podcast with this weekend, but I saw, you know, you were posting you were going to be here. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the presence of basically royalty. I really feel like, you know, it's not often you get to sit down with not only the best shed hunter on TikTok, but also the best elk hunter on TikTok.
That's nice.
I mean, it says it right there in your username. So, I mean, it's really, it really must be true, you know?
Yep. Yep. No matter. See, that's the thing is, TikTok's a fake world, so you can be whatever you want to be on TikTok, and I just chose to be the best.
Hey, and nobody can dispute it, because right. Do they have that in their name?
Exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly.
Oh, man. So, you know, I don't even really know how we came across each other's profiles at this point.
I actually remember. You did that video of... I remember this because it popped up the other day, and you did that video of... What was it? I think it was something about being, would you be gay for $2 million or
that
whatever?
One.
And I was like, yeah, yeah, I would wear Sitka and whatever.
Yeah,
I said.
Yeah.
So it was pretty funny.
This day, that is my most duetted video. Like, and everyone listening is probably like, why are they talking about TikTok again? But that is probably my most duetted video. And it was funny enough, I wasn't the original one to think of that idea. Like, I'd seen 20 videos of that, you know, like, and it's all the same stuff. Like, oh, yeah, I drive a Ford. And, you
I
know.
Think it's the layout. I really do. I think it's the layout that you have that made it that way.
But, I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Like, I wish I could see how many people have duetted that, because it's an insane amount. And I've gotten people from, like, Instagram, like friends that are completely unrelated to TikTok, that will like out of the blue text me, and with a screenshot they'd be like, dude, is this you? I saw it on like some random Facebook reel, somebody had duetted, and I was just I die. It's like, because I was making fun of hunting high fence whitetails.
Yeah.
Or no, not even high fence whitetails. I don't care if you hunt high fence, I don't care, whatever. I was making fun of hunting like pen-raised whitetail.
Oh yeah,
because there's a guy on there, Reed DuPont.
I don't know who that is.
He is like part of the DuPont family. Like, he's one of the richest families in the world, and he runs this like whitetail ranch where they raise those like genetic mutants.
Yeah,
like, well, we're not talking like QDMA, where it's like people, you know, people like have high fenced areas and they like manage it, and it's all natural. These are like pen raised bred whitetail that they, you know, they sell for $50,000, $100,000, $150,000 for someone to walk out into a field and like shoot.
There's one over here. There's a booth over here, and it's a high fence. It's a ranch.
Yeah,
and that's what I was trying to explain to my wife over there, because they have this bull that is just massive. And you look at his skull, and it's the size of a deer, because mm-hmm. it's a baby bull that they've pumped with so much stuff just for antler growth. Like, to me, I don't ranches and high fence, I don't do them. I would rather go in the wild.
See, and I know guys that run ranches, and there's different types. Like, there's like the pen raised, like where they're turned into effectively genetic freaks.
Yeah.
Then there's, I mean, I know guys down in Texas with like 30,000 acre ranches.
Yeah.
And I hunt smaller plots of public land than that.
Yeah.
And, you know, they definitely do. I mean, they're not pumping them full of steroids. They're not doing any of that kind of stuff. But, I mean, there's definitely, they're encouraging breeding, and they're doing quality management where they're pulling the small stuff out. And so you will get bigger stuff on there. But, yeah, it's technically a high fence ranch. And so, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to go down and pay to hunt that.
Yeah.
I can't afford it.
No,
two
shit.
You know, two, it's just not my thing, but like, that's an actual hunt. Like,
so yeah, so that's a little bit different. Like, I look at it different, being from Utah. So we have places like up north that there's high fence hunts with elk, and they have like all these elk in this pen, and then they go, that's the bull I want, let's go release it and shoot it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's different. Texas, for instance, if you go to Texas and hunt a high fence, you're getting different kinds of animals. You know what I mean? It's stuff like that that's not there.
It's a variety, and it's, you know, and honestly, I really don't give a shit. Like, you want to pay, you know, $100,000 to go shoot some genetic freak that's walked out on a leash, go ahead.
Yeah.
But don't make a video on fucking Reed DuPont. Like, he made some video on TikTok. He's holding up one of these like genetic freaks of, you know, with just like mass and points sticking out everywhere. You know, it's like a 200 point deer.
Yeah.
And he's holding one of these things up, and he's like, everyone wants to shoot a big deer until, you know, and then the video goes on to like, till you have to like grind and scout and put in all this work. And I just made a video. I'm like, just ripping him apart, and then he was the one. Everyone was stitching his videos because he like pretends to be a cowboy,
yeah,
and like does all these like shirtless videos wrenching on his car where he's clearly smeared himself
I've
with oil.
Seen that. Yeah.
That one, everyone duetted that one, and so like I was just ripping it on him for a long time. And one of the videos I made, the one that got duetted, was, you know, oh, would you be gay for $1 billion? And, you know, with the yes or no, and I'm like, you mean I could hunt a pen-raised whitetail and still have time for an afternoon nap? Hell yeah. And
yeah.
Like, you know.
That's awesome.
And then, you know, of course, everyone and their mother duetted that one. And like,
yeah, I think I did it twice. I did it twice. And then the one blew up that I did with the whatever Sitka and shit. And it's funny because my TikTok, I make fun of everybody.
Yeah.
And I try to include everybody that I make fun of, because I have a good group of guys that love talking shit. I mean, realistically, I don't care if you hunt whitetail. I did a video making fun of people that hunt whitetails. I do a video of people wearing Sitka. I have buddies that wear it. You know what I mean? It doesn't, none of that really matters. And my, it's all jokes. As long as you're outside and you can hunt, I mean, don't try, like you're talking about, don't try to tell me you hunt if you just paid. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's a difference between hunting and pulling the trigger.
And I'm like, just be realistic about what it is. Like, I went and hunted my buddy's ranch. He wanted me to come audit. He was doing a new hunter training program, which I think like a Texas ranch is an incredible place for somebody to learn that whole process. And he wanted me to come audit his program. And I went down and I went through the whole course, and I didn't pretend like I was waking up at 4 a.m. in my tent in the snow and like putting on my gear and hiking 9 miles in. I was like, no, you know what I did? I woke up, I went and got some coffee and sat in a leather recliner and read my book for an hour. And then when my guide got up, we went and hopped on in the side by side and drove out to the box blind. We climbed up in there, waited for the feeder to go off, and I plugged a fallow deer doe and a red sheep ewe, and that was a freaking awesome experience.
Yeah.
And I mean, let's face it, like, when else am I going to hunt a fallow deer and a red sheep either?
Yep, exactly.
And I mean, you know, it's like, it was, wasn't guaranteed or anything, you know, it wasn't walked out on a leash, but it was still.
But that's the biggest point, is to own it. I mean, you know what I mean? As long as you admit it, don't act like you did something you didn't do. You know, and so I think that's the whole point with this is if I could do it and go to Texas, I would be all about it, you know, and I would definitely do it.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, I'm not going to necessarily pay for a hunt like that. I'm not going to seek it out. But somebody calls me up and is like, hey, you want to go on this hunt? I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I want as many experiences as possible, because I also want to be able to speak to this stuff. I want to be able to have that discussion. And if I hadn't, like, I may have been of a very different opinion if I hadn't seen this guy's 16,000 acre ranch, or another buddy's like 30,000 acre ranch, and you see, like, okay, that's a high fence ranch. You can go 90% of places on that ranch and never see a fence, like, because it is so expansive. They literally have the high fences to separate out the different species, just so, you know, they kind of know what they're doing.
And it's the same, so it's funny because it's the same concept being in Utah. I get a lot of hatred from people because sometimes I hunt private. Same concept,
and
public. You know what I mean? But what they don't realize is I get people that make comments all the time. Hey, he killed that on private, or he found that on private. You know, and 99% of the shit that's in my house is from public land. But they don't. You know what I mean? They just know that I own property, and they think that it's this immaculate thing. I go to this private property that I own, and I look off into the public, and that's where the animals are. You know what I mean? I mean, I run into public land hunters because I go over there. So it's the same concept. It's, you know.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, just because it's private land, a lot of animals will tend to congregate over there just because they don't get harassed as much. But again, it's not like it's a penned in area where it's not like,
you can't pet them.
It's wild. Yeah. Jeez. And I mean, and this applies. You know, we talk about TikTok because that's how we met, you know, and that is a weird environment. But this applies to everything you do. It applies to all social media. It applies to when you're making hunting films. I think that's one of the big issues. You know, we're here at Hunt Expo. There's a lot of quote-unquote celebrity hunters here. I know a lot of them. A lot of them are friends. And, I mean, I know there's a lot of guys also here, too, that make these films. And the presentation's a lot different from being authentic.
Yep.
It's, you know, and I get it. Sometimes you have to add a little bit of drama to make it just interesting. Like, unless you're Steve Rinella, nobody wants to sit and watch you, like, glass for an hour long. Yep. Like, and don't get me wrong, I've watched an episode of Steve Rinella glassing, and, like, you just listen to that dude talk, and it's like, but
that's funny.
You know, you got to add some drama, you got to add some action, but I think there is a push towards authenticity in hunting media these days. I'm glad to see it.
And that's kind of a big issue. You get a lot of people, I think it creates like a false positive because you get these youngsters growing up that want to go hunting. And when they're watching these guys, all they see is these guys go out, kill a big bull, kill a big buck. They don't see the dedication or the hard work, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or the 4 days in a row that they didn't even see an animal, because none of that is posted. I try and tell people that, you know, hey, you're going to have downs. If you're not mad and in a bad mood, you're not hunting elk, period. If you didn't hunting, get pissed off.
Especially Western hunting is that type two fun.
Yeah.
It is the fun that is fun after the fact.
Yes,
it is like,
yes.
If you're like, this is the greatest day ever, you're probably not in the right spot.
No, no. And I've never, I mean, that's an emotional roller coaster. Chasing elk is an emotional roller coaster.
Oh, man.
I mean, you know, you've hunted elk. It's not, but like you said, at the end, it's awesome. Nothing beats it. You know what I mean? When you're at the end.
Oh, yeah.
You can't beat it.
Even those trips where you don't harvest anything, where you don't kill anything, but you look back and you're like, oh man, that time like I got into him and oh, I, just, yep. I was drawn back and I had to like sit there for 5 minutes and I just never showed. Like, you're just as stoked on that. I mean, again, we all want to fill the freezer and I want to put a big freaking rack on the wall. Like, there's no question about that. Like, I would never call myself a like trophy hunter. I mean, shit, I'm a terrible hunter. I'm too bad of a hunter to be a trophy hunter. But, you know, we all want to get a big animal. We want to fill the freezer. We want to put a mature animal on the wall. But we wouldn't be, you know, we wouldn't be doing what we do if the goal was just to put food in the freezer.
Yeah, exactly. Because like, you can go to a farm and pay and do it.
I mean, there's a lot easier ways to do it. You can, you know, I'm in Montana. I can go up to the Hutterite colonies and buy a pig and a cow. Like, you know, it's.
So last, or 2 years ago, because you were talking about elk hunting, I was actually up, hiked in a couple miles, whatever, had my bow, and I had a bull screaming at me. And so we had like six different bulls, and my buddy was cow calling behind me. We were trying to set up. And this is one of those get scared moments. So I come around through these trees and I meet this cow face to face and we're about 10 yards. And I'm like, I'm going to shoot her because archery, you can shoot a cow or a bull.
Yeah.
So I'm 10 yards. I notch an arrow and all I see is antlers behind her and comes and yells at her, pushes, and then he takes her place. So we're face to face. I go full draw. And I'm ready to bury it in his chest.
Yeah.
And I, right as I look through my peep, he screams at me and bugles. I have never shaked so bad, and I couldn't even look through my peep anymore. I just put my bow down. No shit, I text my buddy, and the one that was behind cow calling, I said, let's go, I'm done. I was like, how do you shoot a bull when it yells at you? I'm scared.
Oh, man. Well, that's tough, too, because like, especially that close, you don't know what they're going to do. Like, yep. I mean, you see those videos of guys like, he's sitting there with his bow and I mean, sometimes they're even at full draw and you see this elk walk up and he's like 3 feet from the guy.
Yeah.
Like he's up against a tree and this elk's walking by and he's filming with his phone and everyone, you know, in the comments is like, why didn't you shoot him? It's like, yeah, cause if you shoot him, like even if it's a perfect shot, they're going to move.
Yep.
And you never know when you're going to get a stomped or
yep.
gored, you know, you just, that's real close.
And they're, yeah, it's too close for comfort.
I mean,
especially when you startle something, you don't know what it's going to do when it's mad.
That's why. I mean, and that is a 1,000-pound animal.
Yeah.
Like,
I actually ended up killing a bull about 10 minutes after that one. So I went down after I shot or shook. My buddy texted me, no, I got more bulls coming in. Come down here. So I went down to him and I had one come out at 55 yards. Didn't shake at all. I mean, 55 yards, it's a comfort zone. You know, I mean, that's great. Anything, I think 10 to 20 yards is great. But anything in that zone, it's.
Oh, yeah.
And if you've ever heard, anybody's ever heard an elk bugle that close, it's loud. I mean, scary.
It's, oh, yeah. You feel it in your chest.
Yeah.
Like, you feel that reverberation.
Yeah, I was like, this sucks.
Oh, man.
We were in the same situation this year with my wife. We passed on 50 different bulls because we drew a limited entry tag.
Oh, okay.
And so we passed on 50 different bulls. And we ended up coming to a ravine that I was like, let's go in here. And we had a bull to the left, a bull to the right, and bull straight ahead. And she was like, which one? And I was like, well, the wind's going to the right, so you can't go after him. Once you cut that and he cuts your wind, he's gone.
Yeah.
So we went after the one that was straight ahead, set up, started cow calling. He comes out, and she shot him. But same concept. I mean, there is nothing that beats an elk bugle, I don't think. I've hunted a lot. And mule deer don't do it for me, none of that. But an elk bugle, man.
I tell you, it was 2 years of hunting before I heard one.
Really?
Well, So it's debatable whether or not I heard the first or second year. But, like, really hearing, like, serious elk bugles and then getting into them for the first time and, like, that was my third year of hunting. I was in Montana. You know, I wasn't living there yet. 2019, I was hunting in Montana. And I just remember my first night out, I was camping in one spot and heard that elk bugle. Like, I was out setting up camp at night, and I'm like, I heard it. And I was like, it was deafening. And I just, you could not have just knocked the smile off my face with a sledgehammer. I was ecstatic. And I'm like, this is the year. Like, I was convinced I was going to get something that year. Because I was also dead. Like, I was like, I'm here until I kill something. And I was 6 weeks in Montana. I was working remotely. Like, I'd started my own business that August. And so I was working remotely, but I was like, I'm going to kill something. And I finally just got to the point. I knew I was also, it was kind of late October at that point, mid to late October at that point, by the time I was kind of winding down. And I knew in November, I was going out to Missouri. I had a buddy invite me out to his property in Missouri to hunt some whitetail. And I was like, I know I'm going out for this. And I was kind of, it had finally taken a toll on me mentally. I was exhausted.
It does.
And so I finally, like, I made kind of a couple last ditch efforts, and then finally took myself home. But I saw a lot of success on that trip. I didn't kill anything, but that was my, up until then, by far my most successful elk hunt. It was huge.
I mean, anybody who hasn't hunted elk, they won't understand it. But once you hear an elk bugle in the wild, it's a whole different ball game.
Yeah.
I mean, I live for that. I don't even want to hunt late season because of it, you know. And we hunt a lot of late season. Between my family, we've already killed 5 elk this year since January 1st. We killed 4 on New Year's Day. So, you know what I mean? And 5 elk, but it's not the same as a September bull hunt. It's nothing. Nothing compares to it.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I mean, and you think about it, like, people on the podcast have probably heard me say this a million times, like, you know, maybe say you meet someone from downtown New York or L.A. or just some city, they've never been in the wilderness, just never experienced any of it, never seen an elk, never even heard of an elk, and you go to describe it to them, they would think you were fucking with them.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They would be like, oh, right, it's that big and it has these giant antlers and it screams and makes this weird. Right, you know.
And I feel bad for these people that haven't. You know what I mean? Like, you're missing out. I feel bad for people that don't get outdoors and do this shit. Whether it's even just shed hunting, you know? I mean, enjoying what we have.
Dude, I came down. It was here in Utah. I was here in Salt Lake. I was on a road trip, I think. I was visiting some friends, and they were finishing up their day at work. I was just killing some time until they were off. And I went to, like, a local park just to kind of chill in the grass, take a nap in the sun, you know, like, nothing big. And it was, you know, it was one of those parks that it's got kind of the cement pond with all ducks in it, and everyone, all the kids go and feed the ducks. And I'm sitting there watching this, and it's cool and all, but it made me a little sad. Because I'm like, this is the only experience probably the majority of these people are ever going to have. And being in Salt Lake City, you are surrounded by mountains. I mean, you've got the Wasatch.
Yeah.
Like, right here. And this is the only experience some of these people, this is as wild as some people are going to have. And I've got friends that are scared of shitting in the woods. Like, that are just, the thought of going out camping and being uncomfortable and all of that, and it just makes me sad that is all they'll ever have out of life.
It is sad, though. That's why we do it, though. I guess it leaves more room for us up there.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the dichotomy of like, yeah, I want the solitude. I want to be able to get good tags. I don't want to have to compete for the draw. I don't want to be running into a ton of other hunters in my area. But also, you know, I want other people to understand this joy. I want them to vote the right way. I want to create more advocates for hunting. I want to create more funds for conservation. All of that. Like,
see, and I try really hard to get kids into it. Mm-hmm. Like, I have some friends that I grew up with that don't hunt, and their kids are curious about it. So I usually draw a private lands doe tag.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care to shoot a doe. I've killed so many animals. You know what I mean? What's a doe? So that one Utah allows me to mentor it to somebody who doesn't have their license. So I always grab a kid, and I'm like, hey, you want to hunt? And I take them up, and I let them shoot the doe, and they get addicted. And it's to help, I mean, with the votes, really. I mean, like you said, you've got to keep people wanting this stuff. Otherwise, we're in trouble.
Well, and here's the thing. Okay, some people may say, oh, how does that help with the vote? It's a kid. But, yeah, eventually that kid's going to vote, and they're going to push for that stuff. But also, their parents, you know, they may be waffling one way or the other. You know, they may see a thing that talks about how mountain lion hunting is bad and, you know, we should stop bear hunting and this and that and the other and ban. And if they may be swayed by something like that. But now with you taking their kids hunting and them understanding it and seeing the passion their kids have for it, that's going to change. They're going to see that, and once these hunting things come on the ballot, they're going to vote in favor of hunting.
Yeah.
And that's huge.
And it also a lot to do with knowing facts. I mean, some of these people, they just assume we go kill animals for fun. It's just a big old party. We go shoot things. No. When they see the conservation and the things that are actually happening, then they tend to... When you open someone's eyes, you know, just opening someone's eyes helps and benefits us, you know. It's
such a struggle in the world of social media, and I'm guilty of it too. You know, you want to make a Facebook post, a TikTok video, an Instagram, post a picture on Instagram. And it's just easy to get drawn into these arguments with people that talk shit.
And they get so offended by a picture.
Oh, yeah. But if you can, if you can end up having those one-on-one conversations where... I've started talking to people where more often I'll message someone back and be like, okay, like, I will give you my number and we can have this one-on-one conversation. If this is something that honestly concerns you and you really want to discuss, if you just want to argue back and forth on Facebook, I got better things to do.
Yeah.
But I will legitimately give you my number if you want to have an educated, reasoned conversation.
But they don't want to have a debate. They want to see it their way.
Oh, I've yet to hear back from someone.
Yeah.
I've never heard back from someone.
They don't want to. They want to... I was telling somebody on TikTok the other day, I was like, the only way you know you won an argument is the minute they call you racist. Because it would be... I could be talking hunting. I had someone post in there like, how could you kill such a beautiful animal? And you know how bad of a smart ass I am. I did a video reply of me shooting a deer. And I was like, you just take your time, hold your
squeeze
breath,
the trigger.
And squeeze. And so I did this reply, and he got all pissed off about it. And once we argue, and I'm like, dude, you buy this shit. You eat meat. You know, and you buy it from the store, this unhealthy shit, and I'm buying a tag, and I'm getting my own animal, and I know where it's coming from, and I know what it's been eaten and all this, and he's like, you're just a racist.
What?
So that's where I came to this conclusion of that's when you know you won.
Yeah.
That's what they say. And I know it's happened to you, every argument you ever get into, that's mm-hmm. exactly where it goes. Never anything else. Never legitimate arguments. It's...
Well, when you don't have any facts on your side, you can't quote them. Like, when you can't quote facts and all you have is screeching and emotion, that's...
Yep.
It is what it is.
It's back to the social media thing, though. I mean, the problem is like, I seen a post the other day that was like, the problem is these people have gotten comfortable with all this stuff. Because nobody's getting slapped anymore. Nobody's getting popped in the lip. They can sit behind mm-hmm. a keyboard and talk all the shit they want. But back in the day, You know what I mean? If you came at somebody like some of these guys do, it wouldn't have been this way.
Oh, my gosh. I am a firm believer that more people need to get punched in the face on the regular, like, opening their mouths. Like,
I did a post. I was like, we need to come up with an invention. When someone's punching on their keyboard and they're talking shit to you, it has a fist come out and just pop them right in the nose.
Just a built-in all laptops.
This shouldn't be funny.
Oh, man.
That would be awesome. We should do something like that.
There's a TikTok video for you.
Yep, we're going to have to.
That would actually be a really easy TikTok video to do. Anyway. But, yeah, I don't know. It's wild. I mean, and there's such a bias against it. Like, somebody can come out and I was just talking with Abby Casey. She's an air gunner. She's a booth over here. About this kind of similar idea is that, like, we're not playing on a level playing field either. Where, you know, somebody will sit there and screech. And so I'd found out you had actually posted this video, too. It was the guy holding up an article about kids shooting in gym and school.
In Wyoming.
Yeah, and he is, like, screeching, throwing just a shit fit.
A temper tantrum. Huge one.
And, like, if I posted anything like that, you know, like, saying that, you know, whatever, it wouldn't even go up. It would immediately go under review, be pulled down immediately. I just had that happen. But if, you know, somebody on the other side posts that, you know, calls us racist, calls us, you know, animal murderers, whatever they want to call it, it's screeching F-bombs, you know, calling us stupid, evil pieces of shit. If we even post a response, like even a reasoned response where we're not dropping F-bombs, which, yeah, you know, who knows, that doesn't happen too often. But, you know, it's like, you don't even have, I'm not calling them stupid, whatever. That will immediately get flagged and pulled down for bullying. They'll flag it because of the other person's language. And then because I'm responding, because I'm defending hunters, because I'm defending, you know, freedom, it'll immediately get pulled down.
Exactly. And it doesn't, it's bullshit. So this is the same concept. I did a video. There was a video floating around where this lady, guy, I don't know. It was somebody with boobs, no shirt on, and she decided she wanted to be a male. So she fought it with TikTok and said, I identify as a male. Nipples, everything, you know, full board, this video floating around. And I did a stitch where I basically said it was bullshit, you know, that they could do that just because they call themselves a male. They can't run around topless. And my video reply got taken down for nudity. And I was like, wait, no, this is a stitch that I got off of this app. Like, this is your guys' video you approved. And they were like, nope, they shut it down and gave me a 30-day suspension. And I was like, are you serious? But that's exactly what you're talking about. Like, if we do it, it's not okay.
Yep. No, I've seen that happen on countless accounts, like stuff I've stitched. I'm like, this is literally a video you guys have approved. Why is that video still up and mine down? And they make it clear it's just for stuff like that because of nudity. It's not, you didn't get it pulled down for harassment and bullying.
Yep.
It's just, it's not a level playing field. You know, they're demonetizing YouTube accounts. They're canceling Instagram accounts for violations that happened months and years ago.
I heard that today.
Like, that's wild. And I'm surprised mine didn't get pulled down because I've gotten a handful.
I don't use Instagram very much. I go post pictures of deer and elk and shit, but I don't do the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, and Facebook, I get thrown in Facebook jail or whatever you want to call it every every time I go over there. So it gets frustrating, you know.
Yeah.
And TikTok, that's why I got three accounts, because they're going to ban them.
I've got a backup account. I need to work on building it up again and cross-posting more of my videos.
So the best idea is always do it ahead of time. I made that mistake with the Best Shed Hunter account because I didn't actually do a backup until they put me in the
shadow banning. Yeah.
And so I had to fight to get the account back, the followers that I got. But I've noticed that if you decide to do a backup, do it before your shadow ban, because then you can tell everybody, go follow me. You know, like, I got screwed on that Best Shed Hunter account. So.
No, I need to just work on building up. I've got enough followers where I can go live on it, because I'm banned from going live. Permanently banned from going live. I've only ever gotten one violation, and it had to do with graphic content. I posted a picture of my great-great-grandfather with a mule deer hanging behind him. And it was, I just didn't even think. Like, if I thought it through, I wouldn't have posted that. But it was just a cool image I was using as a background image.
And this
image.
Was on the live? Or
this
no?
was on live.
Oh.
And so they shut down my live. They didn't even ban me from live initially. They just shut down the live. And then I was able to... Then the next day, they banned me from live, and they gave me a 7-day suspension. It says, like, oh, your live will be active on this date and time. To this day, hasn't been reinstated. I've written them multiple times. They're like, no, you're banned for the integrity and authenticity policy, which is about, like, pretending to be someone else, which has nothing to do with what I was banned for. I've only ever been banned from one live. It makes no sense. But
yeah, that's...
I used
I've
to talk a lot about
live
hunting
every
on my
time
lives.
I get in.
Yeah.
You know, I get banned, but they've never taken it away permanently.
Yeah.
That's kind of ridiculous.
But anyway, it's enough about TikTok.
Yeah, they're a bunch of bullshit anyway.
Well, actually, not quite enough about TikTok. So if folks wanted to find you online, follow along with Shenanigans, hear all the rants, where can they hunt you down?
It's definitely R-rated. Let's just get that out there. It might even be considered X-rated. Like, it is, I'm vulgar. But yeah, it's let's see, what's the one? Best elk hunter on talk.
Best elk hunter on talk.
I think.
Which also, don't get confused, because like your handle is best elk hunter on talk, but I think the name is best mustache on talk for that account. Yeah. Which,
hey,
that confused me for a minute.
Do you know where that came from?
No.
Ryan
Is that from Ryan?
Yeah, because he was like doing one of them thirst trap videos that he does with his mustache. And so I went and started that account as a joke. And I was like, dude, my mustache is way better than yours.
Oh, that's funny.
And then all of a sudden that blew up. And I was like, oh, shit, now I'm stuck with it.
Oh, man. And then I can't remember if it's best shed hunter on TikTok or best shed hunter on talk.
But no, that's best shed hunter in the world.
Oh, in the world. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So you're the best, only the best elk hunter on talk.
Yep. And
but the best shed hunter in the world. I'm impressed.
And you can't prove me wrong. You can't.
I mean. It's in the name.
If I'm in people's videos and they're like, oh, I found 30 sheds today, I would just say I found 31. I'm always going to be the best. I just lie and make it up. I mean, it's a fake world anyway. I can just say whatever I want.
There we go. Where can they find you on Instagram?
It's Stick Spotter.
Stick Spotter?
Yeah.
STICK?
Yeah, let's look real fast. So it's STICK_SPOTTER.
There we go.
And that's more hunting pictures, so none of the vulgar shit really over there. But.
Okay, so say you run into someone, you know, whatever, you're at the grocery store, they find out you're a hunter, and they're like, hey man, you know, I've always been interested in hunting. I love the idea of it, but geez, it's so complicated. It seems really expensive. There's so much to learn. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. It's a little intimidating for me. What encouragement would you give that person?
I would honestly just take them under my wing. I mean, I enjoy taking new people. So I took a guy last year, for instance. He's never killed an elk, and I told him, I'll get you an elk. Killed his first bull. He got done. He said, I don't want to hunt elk ever again. That was too much work. But now he's back to it. But that's what I like. I love helping people, and I do. I just tell them, you know, study, watch videos. That's the best thing you can do. And keep in mind that the videos you're watching are only going to show you the ups. They're not going to show you the downs.
Yeah.
But it's going to help you to learn the way animals are. I mean, that's the biggest thing.
Awesome, man. Well, I'm glad we got to sync up. I appreciate you sitting down, taking the time.
Hell yeah, always. It's good times.
All right, y'all, that'll do it for this episode of The Wild Initiative. Make sure to check out the show notes page at thewildinitiative.com. Get links to everything we talked about in today's episode. That'll do it for this week. Looking forward to next time. But until then, I hope this episode inspired you to get involved, get outdoors, and plan your initiative for the wild.
Thank you for listening to The Wild Initiative. Please take a moment to leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher, and head on over to thewildinitiative.com to get show notes, check out the blog, gear discounts, other podcasts from the Wild Initiative family, and more.